You are now going to listen to KAZ iBook Review with Hopeton Hay.
I'm really excited to have our next three readers. So we have Vanessa Rose, we'll read first, and then Dion Schaffner, and then Christina Brunson. I'll read their bios in just a second. So Vanessa, I first met her in an online class called 2341, Forms of Literature for Creative Writing. And what's interesting about this class is that you study different forms, and then for most of the assignments, you have to imitate that form with your own work. And so you really get to see whether a student has range and aptitude with voice. And again and again, Vanessa just met these assignments with incredible originality, incredible versatility. Is that how you say that word?
Ability.
Thank you. and I just was, when it came up, like who could be a student for this event today, I just immediately thought of Vanessa because of her range and skill. So I'm excited that she's going to read, I think, one of the pieces that she wrote in that class. Here's her official bio. Vanessa Rose is a New York native living in Texas. She's a homeschool mom to three rambunctious boys and finds time to write between their reading lessons and teaching long division. She enjoys writing across the many different genres and literary forms, but she most enjoys writing fantasy works because less rules apply to the genre. In her spare time, she is compiling a dictionary for her invented language that she often incorporates into her fantasy screenplays. Her short stories are often grounded in reality, which is a direct contrast to her fantasy works that are more unconventional. So thank you so much, Vanessa, for being here today. If you're ready to go, we'd love to hear from you.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm going to read a story I wrote in that class last semester. It's called Six. They say we are who we are by the time we're 6 years old, little versions of ourselves, trapped on the playground in pint-sized bodies, the men and women we are just growing like acorns. Our personalities are already planted and we have to be patient, but it's all there. I used to wonder if we are already who we are so young. Is our impact also written? Or if someone intercepts a 5.5-year-old, can they change the very core of who that little person is and will be in a span of six short months? I used to tell the little ones that their baby brother was a genius from the future. He knew things we could only imagine and had insights we weren't ready for. Of course they believed me. Little ones always believe what they're taught. I wondered if I could convince them of a truth yet to be. He was here to study the past. My grandmother says she was 6 years old when she opened a book, looked at the words, and figured out she could read. She became an English major. Back then, the first grade was truly the first grade. No kindergarten, no pre-kindergarten, and there certainly was no preschool. So they had all these little adults rushing into class to become themselves. They were all already people. She walked into school a teacher. The smell of new and old books is my version of grandma's fresh-baked cookies. 8 years old and she's a well-read, terrible cook. Her mother died when she was 13 years old, long before the genius was thought of and long before my mother was born. So of course I never met her. I always imagined my great-grandmother rocking a baby to sleep in one arm and reading to the older children with a book in her other hand. There's all these blanks of the past we have to fill it in with daydreaming. I imagine that's what the genius is here to record. He watches the world attentively. He's listening out for those stories, the ones my grandmother never grows tired of telling. Her mother's high school diploma is framed on a shelf. Every visit she shows it off proudly and emphasizes the same words. She must have been proud of her mother at six, and she's no less proud of her now. On the southern farms back then, not many had a need for higher learning. She starts it off the same each time. My mother graduated from high school at a time when most people, let alone black people, let alone women, didn't. There's always something in her voice that tells you she knows and she wants you to know that that paper set in motion many futures. Teachers and a doctor came from that diploma. This little genius now at six wants to know why the human body needs white blood cells. Now when he can't figure out how to get his pants on, the little ones now big don't believe he's a genius anymore. He's a little boy taking in the world, but there's a force in the generations that survives death, time, and space. These little pieces of our ancestors that fuel our blossoming futures. There must be something there that links up with our newly mastered linguistic skills to help form the people we are half a dozen years into our existence, setting in motion a new force for coming generations. Thank you.
Fantastic job. What I love about it, Vanessa, is how you're able to like distill down that line about what came from that one piece of paper is just really awesome. Thank you so much. So our next reader is Deanne Schaffner, and you know, this is a fiction class that I was teaching, again, an online one, and then you get really excited when you see somebody's work and how strong it is, and you're just there to kind of help, like, give it, you know, maybe button that button over here versus over there. Deanne comes to the page with a lot of strength. She's a single mom. She lives in Austin, Texas, with her two teenage sons, her dog, and her cat. After working in technology and consulting for over 20 years, she decided to bust out of the Bachelor of Science in Computer Science and MBA from Stanford University mold and follow her true passion, writing fiction. From straddling stereotypes such as simultaneously being an NBA cheerleader and a Big Six management consultant to being a room mom during the week and hiking the Machu Picchu Trail on the weekend to running marathons and running a nonprofit, Deanne's unicorn lifestyle generates unique experiences. From these, her characters and stories are born, engaging and delighting from unexpected corners of the rich landscape, crossing borderlands of reality and imagination. So take it away, Deanne. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, everyone. It's me, back again. yes, so of course I'm like super nervous about this. I'm like trying to make this transition from engineering business over here to like writing. So thank you all for this amazing opportunity and for being here. And I'm going to read a little bit of a piece from something I worked on in class with Ms. Charlotte. We worked, it was a project where we were talking a lot about sort of pacing. One of the things I do on the side is I am a director choreographer. So I'm used to creating with people in space. And so now I'm sort of trying to do this where I'm creating with words on a page. So trying to make sort of that transition from here to here. But here's my piece. The cafe was bustling with patrons and the server approached our table, ready to take our order. I waved her off dismissively and my friend jumped to cover my briskness. Oh, we're going to need a few more minutes. She smiled politely and at him and left. Everything okay, he asked. No, something's not right. I can't reach her. Tracy can't either. We sat in silence for I don't know how long and the server came back. I ordered a basic scramble just to get her out of my face. I don't know what my friend ordered. I jumped when my phone buzzed, signaling an incoming call. My heart hitched, then fell, and I saw it was my sister. Tracy, have you heard from Mom? She asked. I could hear the concern in her voice as well. No. Her concern fueled my own fears, now running rampant. I'm calling the neighbor, I informed her. Okay, call me back. I swiped into my contacts and hit the name of my neighbor and good friend Karen. Hi, Deanne. How's your trip going? She answered. I could hear the smile on her face and imagined her blonde ponytail swinging as she spoke. It's okay, but I need a favor, I clipped in response. Of course, she replied quickly, meeting my intensity. Can you go outside and see if my mom's car is in my driveway still? I asked. Okay, I'm walking out the front door now, I heard her say, and noted the change in background noise as she went from in to out. Yep, it's there. Can you go over and see if she's okay? Just ring the bell, and if she doesn't answer, here's the door code to get inside. And I rattled off the security code that opens the front door. Okay, let me put some shoes on, and then I'll go. I'll call you right back. I ended the call and waited. My friend looked at me, reaching his hand across the table and just resting it on mine, offering the only comfort he could at the moment. The food arrived and we moved our hands back to accommodate the hot plates. I looked at my phone, watching the clock change minute after minute. With each change, my pulse quickened and it became harder to breathe. It shouldn't take that long to walk next door and knock on the door. It shouldn't take that long for Mom to come from the bedroom door to the door. It shouldn't take that long. It shouldn't take that long. Maybe they were chatting. Mom loved to talk to my friends. Her favorite was to tell unfavorable stories from my youth, the great juxtaposition to the seemingly well-behaved woman I was now. Maybe she was regaling to my friend the story about how when my sister and I were home alone together, my sister had locked me out after a fight between us and I kicked in the glass door trying to get back in. She always liked to tell that story. Or maybe she was telling her about some crazy event like my dog bringing in a possum last night or getting sprayed by a skunk. Maybe, it could be any of those things, because it absolutely couldn't be the other thing that was trying to nuzzle its way into my thoughts, the super scary thing that I didn't even want to consider, the thing that was making me shiver and my arms sprinkle, the thing that was already drawing moisture to my eyes, the thing that had wrapped its filthy, wretched hands around my soul and was squeezing, stealing the air from my lungs, squeezing. It absolutely could not. And then my phone buzzed and Karen's name flashed on my screen. I grabbed the phone, swiped to answer, and slammed the phone against my ear. Karen? A sniffle. A shaky intake of a breath. A wavering voice. I was plunged into sudden silence after she finally spoke. Dion. That's it.
Nicely done. Nicely read, too. Thank you. So well done. I love hearing your work, y'all. I just want to check in and see if Daryl wanted to say anything on behalf of ACC or anything before I introduce our third reader.
Not a continue on.
Okay. I just didn't box you out. Okay, thank you, Daryl. So I haven't had the opportunity to work with Christina yet, but Daryl sent her my way as someone who would be a good fit for today. And I'm really excited to hear from her. One of the things that's not included in her bio is that she is a graduate of the Free Minds Program, which is a really awesome organization and opportunity for students in Austin. It's a collaboration between UT, ACC, and Foundation Communities. And if you don't know about it, I encourage you to find out some more because it's a really, it can be a life-changing experience. I don't mean to speak for Christina, but I have taught in that program and I really love it. So our third reader representing ACC today is Christina Brunson. Like so many of her classmates, Christina wears many hats. She's a single mom of four, a grandmother of twin boys, a daughter of her single living parent, a sister to 16 siblings, a multi-passionate entrepreneur, a student, and one who challenges those who say, I can't. She is capable of anything. Simply put, she is unapologetically vivacious and unstoppable. So Christina, we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I have loved today. You guys are awesome. So I'm not so great with technology, so wish me luck.
Okay.
What I'm about to read is from the Free Minds class. I was asked by Vivek Griffith to, well, the whole class was, asked to write, after reading some stories in This I Believe, it's a, the personal philosophies of remarkable men and women. It was a broadcast. I don't know if you can see it. Anyway, this is the book. So I'm just going to start. at least 5 hugs per day to be normal. I believe my mission is to give away at least 5 hugs per day. My numbers are usually much higher than 5 because I encounter people all day long. I haven't always believed in the power of hugs. Then I had a life-changing encounter on an elevator. At the InfoMart, downtown Dallas, Texas, summer 2014, I stepped onto an elevator that had only one person in it. He was tall, well-dressed, handsome, white male, somewhere between 50 and 60 years of age. His facial expression and body language screamed, "I wish I could end my life and be done with it all." Awkwardness, the sound of motion from the elevator, and his silent but loud death wish was all that could be heard. Ignoring the obvious, I ask, "How's your day?" Even though I felt I knew the answer, a little startled that he wasn't alone in the elevator, he looked over to the opposite side, where I stood, giving him plenty of personal space so he didn't think I was hitting on him, replied flatly, "I've had a better life." Without skipping a beat, I replied, "Sounds like you need a hug." He visibly smirked and said, "I haven't had a hug in 26 years. My wife and family are all gone." His words shook me deeply. And compassionate sadness filled the space we occupied. I then asked, "Are you okay with accepting a hug from me?" He didn't reply, just stepped towards me, and I met him in the middle and hugged him firmly. Inside my head, I remember thinking, this too will pass. Tomorrow is a new day with new grace. The elevator stopped on the ground floor, and we both noticed the weight in the atmosphere was lighter, and it seemed like his dark cloud had lifted. Strangely, no one else entered the elevator to alter the mood. In that moment, my mission for life was revealed. I would no longer judge, censor, and seclude myself off from strangers, coworkers, church members, homeless people, all wandering souls on their journey of life. I was raised with the understanding that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Most of my life, I've had very little as far as wealth or material possessions to give away. Since that day, my gift has been a genuine, two-armed, firm but not crushing, heartfelt hug that I make especially for that individual in that moment. With my actions, I say to them, I don't expect anything from you. I give you freely this gift, no strings attached. If you are in this room and have received one of these special gifts, even in passing, I hope that that is the message you receive. Any benefits that come from this simple act is a bonus and icing on the cake of humanity, and hopefully points you to happier times filled with joy and acceptance. So I will continue to strive to get my numbers up on how many hugs I give every day, and hope you do the same, because I believe every hug makes a difference.
Fantastic, Christina. Thank you so much. I feel a little weepy. And also your amazing smile that matches the energy that you bring. Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm grateful to all three students who've shared their work today. I'm grateful for folks who are listening, and I feel very lifted up. So thank you. And I'm going to turn it back over to Hopeton now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast edition of KAZI Book Review. I'm Hopeton Hay. Subscribe to us under Hopeton Hay Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and many other sources of podcasts. If you like this interview, be sure to rate it. Rate it a 5. Give us 5 stars. You can follow KAZI Book Review on Twitter under @KAZI Books. You can also follow us under Facebook under KAZI Book Review with Hopeton Hay. And you can also follow us on Instagram under KAZI_book_review. Thank you once again for listening to the KAZI Book Review podcast.